So a small caveat before I begin. I didn't hear Laura's story before she told it, and she hasn't heard mine, so just keep that in mind when I tell this one. So 8 years ago, I arrive in Nelson. I'm young, I'm cool, I'm a university graduate, I'm a young reporter, I'm 24 years old, I'm living with my 91-year-old grandmother. There's few things that impress the ladies out at Little Rock on Bridge Street on a Friday night is taking them home to your grandmother's house. I'd come to a small town, I'd come to Nelson, and I thought I wouldn't stay very long. I was a big guy in a small pond or something like that. And so I moved in with my grandmother. I live with Chrissy Kerr at the corner of Tasman and Manuka Street, where she had lived for more than 50 years. I had the pleasure of coming to a town that I'd been in and out of since a child, but never really spent much time. And it was a town, a city, I should say, a city which bore my forebears' name that I knew little of, though I didn't have it in my name. I would walk down Kerr Street, where John Kerr once had his bullock track, famously. I'd go to Kerr Bay in the St. Arnold in Lake Rotowiti, where he drowned. I would walk past Louis Kerr Jewelers, where I take my middle name from, and admire the wrought iron sign that still adorns there. And I lived with my grandmother, and I would make her bacon and eggs for breakfast, and we would sit outside and we'd watch the birds, and I'd play her guitar sometimes, and she'd sometimes, quite passive-aggressively, I thought, for a 91-year-old, saying, "You're getting better." But I also watched as she struggled with her mind and dementia. And I had to figure out how you tell someone you love that their sister, that they'd recently been asking after quite a lot, had in fact died many years earlier, and had to watch as that grief overtook her again and try and understand myself how someone like that could come to grips with a failing mind. But it's not 2 years that I would give back. However, after it was up, I was ready to get out. I booked a one-way ticket to India and had no real plans of coming back. That was until a friend of mine, who I thought up until that point was only a friend, handed me something on a warm summer's day on Hardy Street, and she said, "I think I'm going to regret this." So that was nice. And I took this small package home that she'd given me, and I unwrapped it, and inside was a USB stick. And quite tentatively, I put the USB stick into my laptop and I clicked open a document, and it was a love letter. And it was lovely, and it was beautiful, and it was moving. And in short, it fucked everything up. Because up until that point, I was moving on, baby. I was getting out of town. I was going to see the world. So I took this girl down to Tahunanui Beach. And I performed my well-rehearsed, not that well-rehearsed speech, where I said, we've got to be responsible. It wouldn't be fair on me. It wouldn't be fair on you. Blah, 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 blah. And we walked, I thought, along the sand. Apparently one of us got wet. And then we sat down on the sand, and I looked out to the ocean, where my forebears once had come on a boat in very different circumstances to now, more than 150 years ago, and made a life for themselves. And I looked out that ocean, and I looked to the girl, and I took a deep breath, and I said, "You can't be responsible all the time." And then I kissed her. And at that exact point, perhaps because it was New Year's, and perhaps because there was many young people with an overabundance of explosive celebratory paraphernalia, fireworks literally went off. So as, you know, a sign, that's pretty good, right? But there was a slight problem, of course. I was leaving the country in 2 weeks, and I wasn't sure when I was coming back. So we had a bit of a whirlwind of crazy, beautiful, amazing times where I sort of made a commitment but really never said if I was ever going to come back or not. Somehow we ended up on Nelson Airport's grass verge, and we took photos of each other and of each other. And then when the time came for me to get on the plane, she handed me something else. And I took it with me on the plane, and I sat in the window seat, and I watched Nelson fade behind me. And I opened it up, and it was a ring. And it said hope, because at that point it seemed like it's all we had. But I did see the world. I stood in the middle of Mumbai as India went crazy and hollered and cheered as the country won the Cricket World Cup. I stood on the Kenya and Somalia border as thousands of refugees streamed over, facing one of the worst food crises in many decades. I saw some of the world. But then I came back. I came back pretty much around this exact time, but it was the Arts Festival, and she was in a show performing at the Suta Theatre. All Blacks won the World Cup that night. It was a pretty good homecoming. And there was something about coming back to a place that your forebears had made a home for themselves and coming to know it as your home too. So when I came back and when the time was right, I took Laura, oh, spoiler alert, along to Huna Beach and we down. And this time I got on one knee and I asked her to marry me. And it was entirely responsible. And if it wasn't for me not being born in Nelson, our first child together would have been a fourth generation Nelsonian, which is quite special to know. And those photos that we took on that verge at Nelson Airport now are on our walls, and that ring that she gave me is now on her finger. So my crossroad brought me home.